Hey, this is Leo Cologne.
And this is Rebecca Cologne.
This is a Parents Initiative podcast, and we want to thank you for joining us.
We hope that this could be used as a tool that will create an awareness in you as parents to take the initiative in becoming and being the parents that God has called you to be.
For us, it's not about being the perfect parent, but it's about each day making progress, each day moving forward and becoming a better version of yourself.
So you can give others the best version of you as a spouse, parent, family member, and friend.
Welcome to the 41st episode of the Parents Initiative podcast. This is your host, Leo Cologne, and I have my co-host with me, Rebecca Cologne.
Hey, 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 everyone.
And really first, what we want to do first is congratulate you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. It really says a lot about you and how you're trying to do your best to move forward. And we're firm believers that as you're striving to move forward and become a better person, it not only affects you, but everyone else around you. Now, we want you to know for this episode, we're not going to hit on anything that has to do with this pandemic that we're going through, but we do want to focus on something that I feel like at times we have a tendency to neglect. Mm-hmm. I feel like we allow our past sometimes to dictate the way that we parent. And if we're not dealing with the things that we are struggling with or contending for internally,
right.
It would affect everything we do. Mm-hmm. So I've been reading this great resource on depression, and this example was given that I like to share with you, and I'm going to read it straight out of this book. Now, I want you to know, listen, if you want to know the name of this book, who wrote this book, feel free to private message me on Facebook, and I'll gladly recommend it to you because there are a couple stipulations in reading this book that I want you to be aware of. So be sure just to message me on Facebook, and I'll let you know the name of this book and who wrote this book. So here we go. I'm going to read this from the book, and I will stop, maybe give some thoughts on it, and Rebecca, feel free to do so as well. All right, so here we go. When 36-year-old Dave and his wife, Judy, first came to see me, they had been arguing about their 10-year-old son, Brian. Dave thought his son had a serious weight problem, and Judy wanted to stop Dave from harassing the boy. Brian, a chubby but by no means obese child, felt a mixture of anger and shame. When I encounter a parent pressing hard on a boy, my working thought is that the parent's own buttons are being pushed. Let me stop right there. Let me read that sentence again. Mm-hmm. Okay? And you feel free to say something if you want to. When I encounter a parent pressing hard on a boy, my working thought is that the parent's own buttons are being pushed.
Yeah. You know, when you feel raw, insecure, with undealt with things in your past that you have not addressed yourself, that's usually where you like harp and nag on your own children.
And this story is coming from a perspective of a psychiatrist working through a situation with, obviously, Dave, Judy, and this boy named Brian. So let me read that again. When I encounter a parent pressing hard on a boy, my working thought is that parents' own buttons are being pushed. Continue on with the book. My strategy then is to explore with the parent in the boy's presence the nature of that button.
Yeah.
After some gentle prodding in such a session, Dave shared with his son for the first time his own experience of being a fat boy, much heavier than Brian. He retold the story of a 10-year-old's terror as each day he was taunted and beaten up by a group of older boys on his way home from school. Now, like, I think a lot of times we, obviously this is not from the book, this is me speaking, is like, you know, we have a tendency to hold on to things. And sometimes we don't deal with things. There are things that are left that we have yet to deal with. And sometimes we'll find ourselves in a situation where those things come back up. And we'll find ourselves rehashing those things on people that we love.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on with Dave.
It becomes distorted.
Yeah, it becomes distorted. Back to the book. How often did this happen, I asked Dave. Every day, he answers, as though it were a vaguely stupid question. How long did it go on for? I follow up. Again, a look of impatience for the whole school year. Maybe into the next year as well. Let me get this straight. You were beaten up every day for a year and a half. A year and a few months, Dave corrects. Didn't your parents complain? Of course they did, bitterly. Well, and now Dave smiles, a wise and caustic smile. Yes, well, you see, that was the worst part of it. I would look up, you see, look up at the school windows, and they would gang up on me right there in the yard in plain view. And I would see them. See who? My teachers, Dave said. I could see their faces up in the windows. In the window, they watched. Mm. Now, you think about that. I mean, here's this kid, Dave, as a young little kid, is getting beat up every single day, and teachers just sat there and watched that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's something that, you know, I'm not a psychiatrist by any means, but I know for a fact that we have things in our lives that we kind of just blank out and we forget until something happens and stirs it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there are things that we choose to kind of put on the side and just kind of forget. There's some things that, you know, I remember the things that happened to me that very few often do I think about. But if something happens, it comes back up and I remember and I think about how I forgot about that situation.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Back to the book. They watched. It is hard to describe the raw wave of bitterness and helpless anger that radiated out of this man close to three decades later when he spoke those two words. It was clear that Dave's sense of betrayal had become a stable component of his emotional life, certainly of his parenting. The pain of that 10-year-old outcast now fueled with Dave's aggressive stance towards his son. I told Dave that I viewed his preoccupation with Brian's weight as misguided attempt at protection.
Yeah.
Dave needed to find a way to be concerned about Brian without crossing over the line of intrusiveness. The danger lay in Dave becoming so intent on protecting his son from the kind of abuse from which he had suffered that he would end up, ironically, doing him harm.
Yeah, and really, in those things, causing his son to have an insecurity that wasn't there, but he was creating even self-awareness and self-shame and insecurity within his son, and awakening things and to basically taking his innocence away as being a carefree 10-year-old boy just because of his being intrusive and trying to prevent him being hurt.
Yeah.
You know, he was giving his son problems that his son didn't have.
Yep. And I know, obviously, listen, this is not planned. This is something I'm putting Rebecca on the spot. And I'm really going to put her on the spot here. But you have shared stories. I've heard you tell our kids the story of how when you were a little girl, you had people mention things to you.
Yep.
And that how that's affected you.
Mm-hmm. You know, it actually was around 10 years old.
Yeah.
You know, someone close to me that I love very dearly did not say this out of her ugliness, but, you know, this person's like, hey, you're getting a little fat there. And what was happening is I was developing into a woman. I was going from awkward child stage to...
You started puberty at a very young age.
Yeah, and started developing. And, so quickly I developed quickly that I even had stretch marks at 10 years old because I grew really fast. And, but I didn't just let that go. I actually held on to it. And then I began to repeat it. And I began to repeat it to myself and believe it. And then it began to create a distorted view through my eyes. Every time I would look at myself, I would notice those places that person pointed out to me. And that is where my eating disorder began. And my relationship with food became very abusive.
Yeah, and to not specifically blame this individual for doing that and saying that to you, but that is something that was probably done unto them.
It was.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times that's what happens with individuals, and just reading and reading this book about depression, and a lot of times the way that we have a tendency to lash out on people or put our problems on other people is because it was something that was done to us.
Right.
It's not something that we created ourselves, and we don't deal with it. It continues to be an issue. And if we're not careful, it's something that we will project on our kids.
Yeah.
And they will in turn project it on their kids.
You know, when I had a daughter, you know, when we had Marcella, to me, having a daughter changed me in a good way, because, you know, I remember very vividly in my bedroom, I was getting ready and she was probably 2, and I was looking at myself in not a positive way. I wasn't saying anything out loud, but you know how you can look a specific way. I talk with my eyes a lot.
Yes, she does.
And the Lord spoke to me, because as I looked in my reflection, I could see a little girl watching me look at myself. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "She's watching you." And right then and there, I began to really, truly work on how I looked at myself, how I spoke to myself, because I want that to stop right then and there. I did not want that cycle of personal abuse, truthfully, that I had seen for years go on and within my family of, you know, just self, you know, ugly talk and thoughts stop right then and there.
Yeah, that's so key. And listen, this is so much more than just weight. This is just, you know, obviously it's pertaining to what this book's talking about as well. And this is something that we definitely could relate to. And we're talking about every area of your life that you may be dealing with. And there's some of you right now that are listening to this. You can relate to this and you know some things. Back to the book. This is a common dynamic between father and son. And the key to finding a balance between the extremes of neglect or intrusion was to resurface. Mm. Dave's hidden depression. So this is like emphasizing the fact that, you know, a lot of times, you know, the things that, you know, we're dealing with, we got to be careful that we're not projecting on our kids, that deep hidden inside of us, there are things that we are not dealing with, we're not confronting, we're depressed about. It's causing anxiety in our own lives.
Right.
So back to the book. Once he acknowledged his own boyhood embarrassment and pain, Dave was able to grant Brian an experience that was Brian's and not his. Dave's job was difficult because of the reservoir of fear he still carried and the bitterness reawakened by his son's situation. That's good. Mm-hmm. Let me read that again. Once he acknowledged his own boyhood embarrassment and pain, Dave was able to grant Brian an experience that was Brian's and not his. Dave's job was difficult because of the reservoir of fear he still carried and the bitterness reawakened by his son's situation. Dave knew how cruel life could be for a fat boy. Without the hard lines of a real boy's body, Dave's round softness had rendered him like a girl. He had been deposited outside the circle. He had been fair game. Mm-hmm. So the situation with Dave was, I mean, you know, he related back to his situation, what he went through as a kid. And in turn, he was trying to protect his son. Yeah. But what he really was doing was causing his son to develop his own insecurities.
Yeah.
And his own hurt, mm-hmm. and his own pain, trying to protect him. So I'm sure, look, we're just being raw. We're just being real with you guys. And I know that this is something you definitely could relate to. And we are not professionals by any means, but we have, I guess you could say, we have mentored, we have helped, we have assisted, we have prayed for other people that have been gone through this. But if there's anything that we could tell you right now is that if you are going through some depression or if you are going through some things, you need to seek professional help.
Yeah.
You need to seek professional help. And you got to be careful in how and who you choose to talk to.
Yes.
And this is something that me and Rebecca have learned the hard way. There have been people in our lives that we felt like we could trust. And when we shared something with them, they didn't have our best interests in mind. They had their best interests in mind and they were looking out for themselves.
Right.
And that's just reality. That's just the way life is. And it's not, you know, we are selfish creatures.
Yes, we are.
We are. And that is something that we have to battle internally. and have to deal with and confront.
Yeah.
So it's important that when you do decide to talk about these things, which there is healing in talking about these things, that you find someone that has your best interests at heart, that really is looking out for you, that is a professional.
Right, and that has nothing personal to gain.
Yep.
You know, they are strictly there to listen, to awaken, to give insight, and so that you can walk through your healing.
So there's some questions we want you to ask yourself, and we're not going to expound on these questions. These are just four questions that after reading this that I kind of gathered from it, mm-hmm. that I really want you to take time. And maybe you want to get a journal and write these questions down, or a piece of paper, and really take some time to reflect on this. Number one, are you hard on your kids about something that truly bothers you and has nothing to do with them? Okay, Rebecca gave a very good example of that a few moments ago. Your own securities, are you upset at yourself? Maybe you have some own your relationship problems, whatever it is. Number two, are there things in your past that you never dealt with that you are pushing on your own kids? Let me read that again. Are there things in your past that you never dealt with that you are pushing on your own kids? Number three, are you protecting, quote unquote, protecting your kids from something that you're truly neglecting yourself in? And then in turn, when you're doing that, you're going to hurt them more. Number four, are you taking things out of your kids because they're an easy target?
Mm. You know, a lot of times, I just want to speak to this for just a second. A lot of times when you are overwhelmed by things in your brain and in your mind, and actually you're really angry at yourself, it's easy to just lash out at everyone else around you. And they become the easy target. And who becomes the easiest target? Those that are closest to you.
Yeah, and I just read something today on somebody posted on Facebook, on social media, that, you know, during these times that we're in right now, that we should be even showing more grace to those who are closest to us.
Yeah.
You know, because it's real easy for us to lash out on people close to us because we know that they're always going to be there.
Yep, absolutely.
And they have nowhere else to go. No, they do. Some do. Some do. Some people, you know, if your spouse could, you know, God forbid, but they could just up and leave if they want. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but it's real easy to lash out on those the closest to us. So we encourage you, you know, find some help. And if you're going through something, you're struggling, you know, you're trying your best to move forward and you just can't overcome it, just know that there are people out there that do love you, and there's people that will be more than willing to help you and to help you move forward in that area in your life.
Right.
So we need you to do a couple things. We need you to rate this episode, review it, share it. There are people that definitely could hear this message, mm-hmm. And be encouraged by it. And we also encourage you, look, join our community on Facebook, Instagram, invite other people to come along.
Yes. Would you like to have Parents Initiative presented in the future in your church, your Bible study, or an event you're hosting? And we can even do some things that are virtual. Be sure to contact us through our website or social media pages. The links will be found in the show notes.
And you guys be safe. We love you. Be praying for you. Until next week.
We thank you for joining us today, especially those of you that are faithful supporters of Parents Initiative. It's because of you we are able to put this together.
If you'd like to become a supporter, you can click on the link on the description to give now, or go to parentsinit.com and scroll to the bottom of the page and click on a donate button, where you can give a one-time tax-deductible gift or be set up to give monthly.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe, you can share it with your friends, you can click the share button, take a screenshot, share it on your social stories, and tag us at Parents Initiative. Thank you so much for joining us today.